Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are talking about defining the word stranger and foreigner, biblically defining the word stranger and foreigner. Now, of course, this defining is restricted to the Old Testament. We haven't gotten into the New Testament meaning of the word stranger or foreigner, because we're looking at an Old Testament text, and this is why I say in the context of Hosea 7:9. So, let's read our text. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and let us begin. The text reads, Hosea 7:9 from the King James Version, "Strangers have devoured Ephraim's strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet Ephraim knoweth not." What a privilege it is, Lord, that you grant us to come to your table. We take not this privilege for granted. We draw near to you knowing that you have set before us a wonderful bounty of spiritual food and understanding. Bless us, Lord, we pray, as we endeavor to gain an understanding of this word stranger and the word foreigner as it pertains to Hosea 7:9, and how the strangers devoured and aging to your people, Ephraim. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Holy Spirit, again, we yield to you. May you have preeminence in this Bible study, we pray. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen and amen. We've been looking at this word stranger because we are focused on Hosea 7:9. The term stranger is the key to understanding the rest of the text, at least in my opinion. So when we started our study on Tuesday, we looked at Hebrew lexicons, Hebrew dictionaries, to give us a understanding of the Hebrew verb zur, which is translated into English as strangers. Now, it's a Hebrew verb, meaning to be a stranger, to be active in being a stranger. But the translators translated it strangers. So we looked at the Complete Word Study Dictionary Old Testament. We looked at the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. And we looked at Wilson's English, Hebrew, and Chaldee lexicon and concordance, and all conclude that the Hebrew word zur is a verb, and it means to be a stranger. In day two, which was Wednesday, we looked at numerous translations to see if we were on the right track in understanding the word stranger. We looked at 9 different translations, and also we looked at one commentary, one. You could look at 100 commentaries, but we just looked at one because that's all time permits. But we concluded, based on day two, Wednesday, that we're on the right track, that the word stranger / foreigner are synonymous, and they mean just that, someone who is actively in transit, someone who is moving from one destination to another, someone who is leaving their homeland and going to a foreign land, that is a stranger. Today, we're going to employ the services of a Bible dictionary. You can use numerous Bible dictionaries or numerous Bible encyclopedias. Again, notice we've used lexicons. We've used different translations of the Bible. We used one commentary. Today, we're using one dictionary. We just want to ensure that we're on the right track, that we have the proper understanding. So, the dictionary we are turning to is Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, and it states, foreigner, a person whose citizenship and loyalty belong to a different country. Now, let's pause there for a moment. A person whose citizenship and loyalty belong to a different country. You see, the people that were mixing with Ephraim were not for Ephraim, even though Ephraim thought they were for them. No. A foreigner is one whose citizenship and loyalty belong to their home country. They're not loyal to Ephraim, they're loyal to Assyria, they're loyal to Egypt, from which they came. The dictionary goes on to say, usually the term foreigner in the Bible means someone who is foreign to the Hebrew people. That's what we find in Hosea 7:9. Because Israel was a special nation, there was great danger that the Israelites would be influenced by the ways of other nations and, in the process, lose something of their special identity. That's exactly what we find in Hosea 7, 8, and 9. That is why the Old Testament is full of references to the perils of foreign or strange gods. Joshua 24, 20 and 23, Jeremiah 5, 19. And foreign or strange women. 1 Kings 11, 1, Proverbs 2, 16, and Proverbs 5, 20. That is also why foreigners or outsiders were not permitted to take part in Israel's worship. Exodus 12, 43, and Ezekiel 44, 9. And why is that? Well, when you allow foreigners who are devoted to foreign gods, they will bring their pagan ideas and practices and liturgy and style of worship among the people of God. So this is why foreigners or outsiders were not permitted. Not. Why? Because if you allow them to come in, they're going to bring mixture. Mixture. Now, as an exercise today, we want to look at the term strange women. Strange women. I hope and pray that this exercise will give us a clearer understanding as Hosea 7:9 is referring to. So, let's turn to 1 Kings 11, 1. 1 Kings 11, 1. And it says, 1 Kings 11, 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them. Excuse me. Neither shall they come in unto you. You are not to, listen, you are not to go and travel to their lands and mix with them. And you are not allowed, you are not to allow them to come and come into your lands and mix with you. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon cleaved unto these in love. So now, here in 1 Kings 11:1, we have a different word for strange. A different word. It's not zur. It's not zur. And this is, again, why the pastor must be meticulous and not take anything for granted when he's preaching or teaching the Bible. In English, the word strange here is spelled the same way, or the same way it's spelled in Hosea 7:9, but it's a different Hebrew word. This word is an adjective. It's a Hebrew adjective, and it's pronounced norkrai. The adjective norkrai means strange, foreign, stranger, or foreigner. This Hebrew adjective used here in 1 Kings 11:1 tells us that the people are of a different nationality / religion. So if we can translate it this way. King Solomon, verse 1 of chapter 11, but King Solomon loved many women of different nationalities and different gods. That's how you would translate it. King Solomon loved, became romantically involved, infatuated, if you will, with women who were from different nationalities and who worshipped different gods. Now remember, a foreigner, a stranger, is a person whose citizenship is of another nation, and their loyalty is to that nation from which they come from. So all these wives, as says here, the daughter of Pharaoh, she wasn't for Solomon. She wasn't for Israel. She was for what? She was for Egypt and the gods of Egypt. The women of Moab that Solomon cleaved to, they were not for Israel. They were not for Ephraim. They were for what? They were for Moab, the nation of Moab. The Ammonitish women, they were for the nation of Ammon. The Edomite women, they were not interested in Israel. They had no allegiance to Israel. The Sidonian women, the women from Sidonian is one of the main capitals of Phoenicia. These Phoenician women, no doubt beautiful in Solomon's eyes, they were not loyal to Israel nor to the God of Israel. They were loyal to the Phoenician gods. So not only do they bring their culture and their national heritage and pride, but they bring with them their religion. And this is why God prohibited the mixing of the two. All right, now, in chapter 11, verse 8, it says, or let's start at verse 7, let's start at verse 6, 1 Kings 11, 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, and burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So notice, his wives from these different nationalities, Egypt, Moab, Edom, Phoenicia, and the Hittites, they all turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord. Solomon began to build temples for their gods and worship their gods and burn incense. To burn incense means you're coming to pray. He was praying to their gods. God forewarned them. Now, this word here in 1 Kings 11, 8, this word strange, again, is Norkrai. Norkrai. Again, people whose nationality and religion is completely different from that of Israel. So now, let's look at some other scripture verses, such as Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16. Proverbs 2, 16. Look what it says. It says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So here we have the word strange twice, or strange and stranger. The word strange is zur, the Hebrew verb. So God is going to deliver you from that person, that woman, who is making a move on you. She's a strange woman. Even from the stranger, even from the woman whose allegiance is to her nation and to her gods. So in this one verse, you have the two Hebrew words. Strange is zur. Stranger is norkrai. Again, let's go over that. To deliver thee from the strange or zur woman, even from the stranger or the norkrai, which flattereth with her words. Of course he's going to flatter you with her words, because her mission is to do what? To get you to embrace her gods. You embrace her gods, you embrace her nation. Because the gods were tied to the nations. The moment you start serving the abomination of Moab and the abomination of Ammon, broken covenant with God. Now, here's another scripture text we ought to look at. This is Proverbs 5:10. Let's go to Proverbs 5:10. It says in Proverbs 5:10, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth." Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. That word strangers there is zur. People on the move. Invaders, if you will. Less invaders. Less travelers. People passing by. Be filled with your wealth or your riches or your savings or your bank deposits. Listen, saints, they're coming. And they're not coming to bring, they're coming to take. Zor, strangers, be filled with thy wealth. And thy labors be in the house of a stranger or what? A Norkri. Lest all your hard work wind up in a foreign country, in the house of someone who is passing through. They took your stuff. They conned you out of your stuff. And now you're the poorer, yet they're the richer. They're no longer in your midst. They're in their house, and your riches are in their house. That's like saying if someone came from Russia, they're in transit, and they came through New York, if they came through St. Johnsville, and you brought them into your home, and before you knew it, they left, and you're looking for your stuff, and it's gone, and where is it? Well, when they left for Russia, they took it with them, and it's in their house. It's the same idea. All right, Proverbs 5:20. "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman?" There's that word zur again. "And embrace the bosom of a stranger," a Norkri. My son, why would you be caught up with a woman who's just passing through and she's making the move on you? And why would you embrace the bosom? Why would you fall in love with a woman whose commitment is not to you, but to her nation and to her gods? So there you have it. We're gaining a better understanding of the term stranger or foreigner, with, of course, the nuances that the Hebrew language affords us. All right, that'll do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow to do part 4. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of glory eternal, with the redeemed of God shall stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, ready the light of my Savior, ready to live in glory land.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. From every imperfection,
youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Glorified with him forever,
death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home of glory, eternal, with the redeemed of God shall stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, wait in the light of my Savior, ready to live in glory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home, a glory, with the redeemed
the redeemed of God shall stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, raising a light.